Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and part one of our message on Psalm 83, setting the stage for the Gog-Magog War. It is amazing how many people will send us messages before even listening to what we are teaching. This ministry has never set dates or made predictions of specific dated events. And these messages are not about trying to nail down a date or time of fulfillment, but are solely about the simple Bible truths regarding these end-time wars that are set to take place when God is ready for them to take place. If you have questions, we encourage you to listen to the message in its entirety first, but to then feel free to send us your questions by visiting bbfohio.com and contacting us through our website. And now we join the beginning of our study of Psalm 83, setting the stage
West
for
Bank
the Gog-Magog.
This little hunk here called the Gaza Strip, and up here in the north areas that they've chipped away, and they just keep trying to cause Israel to give away more and more land. And I'm not going to show it tonight, but there's a map I've showed in previous studies that shows what the land that they're eventually going to get is from the River of Egypt to the Euphrates.
Wow.
Now, you need to learn to see the news when you turn on the news. And I don't recommend you turn on the mainstream news. But you can get news if you're selective in your sources. But when you watch the news, you can see it through the lens of Scripture, and you find out this is the key to Bible prophecy, is Israel.
Amen.
Just like what's going on in Russia, you'll find that once you understand the Scripture and what's being taught about the future in these wars that the Bible says is going to come about, then you see Russia building itself back up, taking over Ukraine, trying to get into Georgia and all that.
Yeah.
Eventually, they're going to succeed and they're going to do that, and then they're going to have a confederacy of Islamic nations that'll come down against Israel.
Yeah.
But what we're going to see in Psalm 83 is, I believe there's a confederacy of Islamic nations before that, that will come against Israel. And we'll just start by going through, we want to go through the Psalm. And this is a Psalm of Asaph, and I mention that because a lot of us are used to saying Psalms, and we think of David. Well, David wrote most of the Psalms, but there are a lot of Psalms that David didn't actually write. And this is a Psalm of Asaph. And so let's read verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 83. Read that with me. A song or Psalm of Asaph. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. We need to open our eyes to the fact we're not thinking of this daily. There's a war going on. And I'm not talking about this fake war on terror and all this stuff that we're going to. I'm talking about a real war going on between God and the forces of evil, whose leader is a fallen Lucifer, whose name is Satan. There's a war going on, and those who are not followers of God are serving that other leader, Satan. And among them are those who hate God.
Amen.
They are not just the enemies of God, but look, it says, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. And you want to know who hates God? And I'm talking about professing Christians included. Those who hate God, you'll see them. They hate Israel and they hate the Jews. You just watch that. Most of these charlatans and people that you find in these cults, they have a common denominator. They not only blaspheme and bring Jesus down to their level, but they also turn on Israel and turn on the Jews. And they have lifted up the head. Verse 3, as we're reading, we see that there's an enemy called they and them. And these they and them want to destroy Israel and thy hidden ones, it says in verse 3. Read that with me. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. Now, I think that's referring to the Jews who are all over the world. That a lot of times they live in secrecy. They don't even let people know they're Jews.
Yeah.
And they have taken crafty counsel against thy people. I think it's interesting when God uses that word craft and crafty, and it's always just happens to be about those guys that are involved in these secret societies, and they call their secret societies the craft. And they say they are practicing the craft. And as a revival among college kids today, a thing called Wicca and other forms of occultism where they are practicing the craft. Go look up the movies that are satanic that have the word craft in the title, or you'll hear the word the craft used throughout the movie. There's something about Satan's people are crafty.
Yeah.
They always have a craft. Now, this scenario has never happened. We're getting ready to read the rest of this about these enemies of Israel. It's never happened in history. If the Bible says something's going to happen and it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
And in verse 4, we see who they are in a few verses. But they, let me rephrase that. We'll see who they are in a few verses, but they want to annihilate Israel. So before we get specific about who the they is, we can get specific about what they want to do. Verse 4, read it. They have said, "Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." Look long and hard at that verse right there. That is happening right now. Amen. Let me tell you, if you look up the constitutional of the Palestinian Authority, for example, and Fatah and the Muslim Brotherhood, they state right in their constitution that they want to drive Israel into the sea. Yeah. They don't want peace. What they want is annihilation of Israel. When these Muslims say they want peace, they mean they want Jews dead. Just get used to hearing that when you hear Yasser Arafat would stand in English and say, "We want the peace." And then he would go on PLO television and they would translate what he said. And he told them flat out in Arabic that we want the Jews destroyed.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, just to be honest with you, it's just amazing how ignorant and stupid Americans are these days.
Yeah. Amen.
They are. If you have an enemy, and you know that when he speaks English, he lies. And he goes over and speaks Arabic and contradicts everything he says in English. Don't pretend that he's just trying to be funny. Or he's just... Why would he do that if he didn't mean it? And his actions speak louder than his words. And they are trying to destroy the Jews and trying to destroy Israel. They want to cut them off from being a nation. They don't want land for peace. They want all the land. Now, this could not have happened. The scenario we're reading in Psalm 83 could not have happened between 586 B.C. and 1948 A.D. It didn't happen before 586 B.C. We know that. And it couldn't have happened between 586, which is when they were taken into captivity into Babylon. And between that date and 1948, it could not have happened. Israel was only a nation, which is what we just read. They're trying to destroy Israel as a nation. Israel wasn't a nation between 586 and 1948 AD with a king and with a government. They were in the land when Jesus came, but they were ruled by Rome. Before 586, it could have happened, but it didn't. And Israel was only a nation by that name in its land with a king between 1000 B.C. and 586 B.C. and now since May 14, 1948. May 14, 1948, as the nation of Israel exists by that name and in the promised land with a parliamentary democracy. Man, we don't have time to run all the prophecies. But listen, God told us before this all ever happened that in the last days Israel would come back into the land, but they would not have a king. They would have a governor. And that's what they've got now. And that's now is when this Psalm 83 scenario can come true. This they enemy is an Islamic confederacy against the nation of Israel, according to what we're reading right here in Psalm 83. Look at verse 5. This is where we get the confederacy from when we refer to the confederacy. Read verse 5 with me. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And they are doing that today. They are coming together. It's one thing. Listen, Muslims like to pretend that they're unified, that they're just Islam. And that's just false. They hate each other. They kill each other. Go read the story, the history of Iran and Iraq, two Muslim majority nations killing each other by the millions. And even within those nations, you have the Kurds versus the Shiites versus the Sunnis. And then all of them hate the other Islamic groups, like the what we see in this country is Nation of Islam. They would kill everybody from Louis Farrakhan on down if they had the chance. They can't stand them. Except when they have a common enemy. And that's what's unifying Islam today, is the common hatred for Jews and Christians. Now, if you identify the ancient land where these nations existed, then you have your definition of who they are. You look in verse 6 and 7. It says the tabernacles of Edom. Now, we know Edom... they eat them, don't they, Paul?
Yeah.
That's true. You just look it up. He said that one day, and I didn't rebuke him, but I said, oh, no, they don't, Paul. And I went and looked it up, and I came back and apologized, because they do.
Especially
the Islamic, these in Syria and in African nations where the Islamic groups are attacking Christians, and they cannibalize. But anyway, it goes on and says, and the Ishmaelites... Ishmael was the son of Hagar by Abraham, and they became Arab and Egyptians. Today, Egypt is Arab. It's not really Egyptian. Just keep that in mind. I mean, if you go over to Egypt today, you don't see Egyptians. It's not the Pharaoh's relatives that are over there today. Of Moab, and we're going to look at these on the map in a minute, and the Hagarenes, which is from Hagar, Gebal and Ammon, which is from Lot, Amalek, and the Philistines, like Goliath, with the inhabitants of Tyre. This is an ancient map, or a map of the ancient day, and it shows where these groups are. Edom is basically where Petra is, and it's that section of Jordan south into Jordan. And then you have the Ishmaelites, who are basically nomadic Arab peoples who have mixed with the different peoples around there. You have Moab, which is on the other side of the Dead Sea in Jordan. You have the Hagarenes, which are part of the Arab Egyptian people. Gebal, which is up here in what we know as Lebanon, where Hezbollah. You know, the news media will tell you Hezbollah means army of God. No, it's Hezbollah. It's the army of Allah. Don't let the Western media fool you. They're not the army of God. They're the army of Allah. Then you have Ammon, which is Ammon, Jordan, is one of the... I think it might be the capital. I can't remember. But Ammon is Jordan. Amalek goes down in here toward the Sinai Peninsula and then on into Egypt. The Philistines, that's over here. You hear the Gaza Strip. How many of you know the word Palestina, Palestine, is it's a translation of the word Philistine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you hear Palestine, think Philistine. It's the same thing. And then you have Tyre, which is also up in the Lebanon area with Hezbollah. So there you have the nations that are listed in Psalm 83, clearly identified if you look at... maps that show how they were lined up in the ancient world. Now, Assur is up here where Paul was on the road to Damascus, Acts 9, struck blind, became a Christian. Well, Assur also is joined with them. This is verse 8. They have holpen the children of Lot, Selah. And the children of Lot are the people in Jordan. So Asher is also called Asher, is modern Syria. And if you've paid attention to the news at all today, you know that Syria is involved in a civil war, and thousands are being killed every week. And that's just a seething pot boiling over, ready to explode. Now, compare this now to a modern map. And you take this, and then you look at this, and you see Petra, and here's, see this, Jordan. And what was there? Whoops. There we go. See? Edom, this is Jordan. You look on the modern map, that's Jordan. You look over here, Moab, modern map, Jordan. Look at the name of that place right there. Ammon. Go back here, and you see Ammon. It's a little north. But that's why they named that city that name. Let's go back. Look up here. Tyre and Gebal. And you look up here, and that's Lebanon. And so there you go. It's that simple. It's a game of mix and match. Now, let's survey the rest of Psalm 83. These are the countries that are going to come against Israel at some point. But keep listen, these nations are not named in Ezekiel 38 as part of that war. So if you look, it says, verse 9 and 10, read that with me. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin, at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Now, it's obvious what he's saying there, but I just want you to pay attention to something. I'm not chewing you out. I'm just telling you. You should know what he's talking about there, and Amen. Most of you probably don't. If you will read your Bible through, 3 chapters a day, you go through it once a year. Then when you read this, you see, the Holy Spirit is taking for granted that believers will read that and know what he's talking about. Amen. And if you will read your Bible and get familiar with your Bible, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you see the Midianites, and you automatically start thinking, okay, now I don't remember. And then you see Sisera. And I got to tell you, Sisera, that's one of my favorite stories. You're going to think I'm sick when I show you the story. And then Jabin, What identification can you make with Endor? The witch. Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, get in your Bible. That's good stuff, eh? That's good stuff. It's better than the stuff you see on TV. And it continues, it says, make their nobles like Oreb, not Oreo, look closely. Oreb. And like Zeb. Yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Now, it really is kind of simple, though. There's only one book. What book is this coming from? Judges. Heck. Now, Judges can be a little depressing, I'll grant you that. But man, if you read it and you grasp the fact that it's not... People read Judges and they think, oh, this is terrible, oh, because there's some bad stuff in there. But what you need to understand is it's showing you what the world is without God. Yeah. It's ugly because God has been basically like in America, they kicked God out of the country. And then when everything got really bad, it's like 9/11. Everybody got religious and started calling on God. Well, you know, it's going to get ugly again because everybody's kicking God out of everything in America again. Now, here... You look at these are the list of the people in those texts, and you have question marks. Where do you find those? Well, as unto the Midianites, in Numbers 25:16-18, I said Judges, there is stories in Judges, but I chose this one out of Numbers. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites. The Lord said that to Moses. Where's the love? And smite them for what? Because God's mean? No. For they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor and in the matter of Cosby, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. There's a whole story behind that. Go look it up. It's great reading. Then you can see Sisera. Sisera is that probably the best way to pronounce it. I pronounce it both ways. It's according to who's reading the Bible to me. But in Judges 4:17, howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael. This is a wonderful woman. The wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. So see, Sisera said, oh, we've got a peace treaty with these people. And he goes and runs over to Heber, the wife of Heber. He runs to Jael, the wife of Heber. And what happens? Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of a tent. It was a spike. He took the nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground. I love a love story. I mean, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died.
Yeah.
Killing me softly. Come on now, I don't care who you are, that there's funny. Says softly, right there. What, Johnny?
His head was nailed to the floor.
That's it. Then we have Oreb and Zeb in Judges 4:23-24. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. You say, that's mean. No, you need to study about the Canaanites.
Yeah.
They were terrible, wicked, nasty people. They abused their children. They sacrificed men, women, and children to their devils. And it was just a terrible, terrible culture. And
I'm going to say this. I will give you that.
Thank you.
visit our website at bbfohio.com to view and listen to free audio and video Bible teaching. That's bbfohio.com. On behalf of Bible Believers Fellowship, I'm Pastor Greg, and we thank you for listening.